The Kickoff.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Right, loads of football to reflect on from the weekend. MJ's in the studio and Sandro from Skybet's on the line. Morning, Sandro.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Good, thank you. Where were you at the weekend?
I was over at Wigan, actually, seeing the man of the moment, Paul Cook, finding out how he masterminded that unbelievable victory over Man City a week ago. So, yeah, we were doing some stuff with them. And, of course, they were playing Rochdale, who got a massive FA Cup replay on Wednesday night at Wembley. So the game wasn't the most entertaining, but we've got some interesting content anyway, nonetheless.
A 1-0 win over Rochdale. Mm-hmm.
Big one. Doing well, aren't they? Doing really well.
What's the secret to the success, Sandra?
I don't even think Cookie knows to tell you the truth.
He's a good character, though, isn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant. He's absolutely superb. And, of course, he's got Peter Reid over there at the club as well. He's been there this season. So you can imagine the stories in the manager's office after the game. So yeah, it's always good fun. David, they've got a good relationship with the club there. So, yeah, always entertaining to have a chat with those guys.
You didn't ask him about the tunnel cam, did you?
Interestingly, we got Derek there, like their sort of chief kind of security guard who stands around the tunnel. He was sort of said, oh, you know, it was nothing. It was all a bit of handbags. And then off camera, he sort of said, I'm not really allowed to say anything anyway because there's an ongoing FA investigation. but I don't think, in all honesty, I think it was just all much ado about nothing, to tell you the truth. And I think what I do know is what he did touch with. I don't think anybody stuck around after the game to have a drink anyway. I think Man City got on their way pretty quickly. I think there's an awful lot of love lost between the two clubs.
Right, let's reflect on the League Cup final of the weekend first of all. MJ, Arsenal were awful.
Yeah,
well done Man City, well done Vincent Kompany, but Arsenal were rubbish, weren't they? They're continuing fall from grace, really.
Yeah, and you look at the way they approached the game and they approached it, not like a side that you'd say were considering Manchester City as their equal, but you'd say if you saw City up against a team that were in the lower half of the table, you'd imagine them doing something similar in terms of just sticking a lad up front who's dead fast, sitting deep, and then when you get the ball, just trying to knock it over the top to him. And there's a few little chances early on, wasn't there, but never really a single spell in the game where Arsenal were able to get the foot on the ball and have some sustained pressure, which is something they've actually done quite well at times under Wenger since he's been there. So, really disappointed from them. But I suppose when you actually go through that side, Steve, and look at the players they had in there, there's a lot of players in there you'd say will probably do a job for mid-table Premier League teams, but for a side that's going to be pushing for the top four, you know, Jack Wilshere, okay, Granit Xhaka having a poor season, Aaron Ramsey scores big goals, but again, if he doesn't do that, doesn't really offer much else. And you go through that Arsenal team and there's a lot of players in there that you look at and suddenly they look like a very ordinary, average, mid-table, 6-7 sort of football team. And perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised when we see a side like Manchester City, who are the best team in the league by a stretch, just completely dominating them.
Is this the first of many, Sandro, for Man City?
It appears that way, doesn't it? I mean, they've obviously got the Premier League wrapped up, so that'd be a second trophy, and they're favourites for the Champions League currently as well. And I certainly think next season they're obviously going to be the team to beat again. It was pretty dominant, really, as a performance goes, wasn't it? And I sort of agree with MJ's comments about Arsenal as well. You felt, when you looked at the body language of the players, and there was a lot of hands on hips and a lot of arm waving, and it looked like a lot of Arsenal players, none of which wanted to take responsibility, really. And when it got tough, they seemed more interested in sort of pointing the finger at team members or blaming the referee. It was pretty poor, wasn't it? You don't mind getting outclassed by a team, but I think it's your attitude and how you're beaten by a team, and it was pretty poor. Gary Neville was absolutely ruthless about them in the commentary, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was just poor all round, really. And strange when you think that's an Arsenal team that beat Man City last time they met in the Cup, in that FA Cup semi-final at Wembley, and of course went on to beat Chelsea when they were underdogs. And they certainly didn't display any of those characteristics that they demonstrated in either of those two games last season.
The thing is, as well with City, which I think is really ominous for the rest of the league, is that you go through that squad and you look at the potential 11 for next season. You say the goalkeeper Ederson, Stones, Laporte, Mendy, who's not really kicked the ball for them, Bernardo Silva's in there, Gabriel Jesus, Sane, Sterling. These are all lads who are 22, 21, maybe some of them are a little bit older, up to 23, 24, but a good portion of that side is still on an upward trajectory in the career. They're going to get even better. And I think that is something that is testament to their recruitment, but I think it's also testament to what Guardiola's done there. You know, players like Sterling now, who at the start of the season people are looking at saying, where's he going to fit into this team? And there's obviously, there's a bit of tension to talk about to maybe even go into Arsenal at the start of the season. So the fact that he's got these young lads, he's developing them and making them into elite Premier League players is testament to him, and a little bit scary as well looking forward.
Vincent Kompany, 41 injuries.
Wow.
He's had 41 injuries. So, I mean, what a reward for him to step up and score that second goal.
Yeah, and he's one of those players, isn't he, that you can't help but like him, because whenever you see him interviewed or whenever you see the way he plays, he always comes across so well. And when you see his name on the team sheet yesterday, actually, you did worry a little bit and thought somebody like Aubameyang maybe going up against him with that searing pace might have caused him a few problems. But there's actually one moment, I think it was in the first half, where they were in a straight race and Kompany did well to keep up with him. So he's an incredible player, an incredible leader, and it's just a shame that his career has been so besieged by injuries, because I think if he had stayed fit and been at the base of this Manchester City team consistently for many, many years, then you'd probably be talking about one of the all-time great Premier League defenders. On talent, I think he's up there, but and obviously what he's won with City as well, but I don't think you can really put him in that bracket because of his fitness, but if he had stayed fit, I think he would have undoubtedly been in that bracket.
Just missed a massive portion, hasn't he? Here's some thoughts from some of the listeners this morning. Simon says, Sam, so this is about Everton, we're moving on to Everton now. Sam, it's your job to get them organised, passing to each other and playing an entertaining brand of winning football. That's what your £6 million a year is for. If you can't do it, leave and let someone else have a go. That's Simon this morning. Sean says, Everton in desperate need of a new management team again. Steve Walsh has overseen £300 million worth of poor value, average signings. Big Sam is simply a terrible manager who's an underachiever. Everton need to get rid so big seasons can come in the new stadium. And Andy says, sad but true, Moyes did the groundwork. I had high hopes. First Martinez and then Koeman destroyed all he did. So we've gone backwards. Wanted Simeone when we got Koeman. How it has gone so wrong. So lots of positivity coming from Evertonians this morning. Let's reflect on the 1-0 defeat at Vicarage Road. Come on, give me some positives out of this one, MJ.
Oh, my word. There weren't really any. It was only 1-0, I think, in the end. I think Watford could have won by more, so that was a good thing, because we've seen this Everton team, when they have conceded goals in the past, capitulate, but I mean, you know, those tweets there and those thoughts from a lot of Blues, I think, sum up what is, you know, an array of issues at this football club at the moment. And it's not just going to take one decision in the summer that's going to make everything right again. It's going to be a long process before everything get back to being the seventh best team in the league, never mind challenging for the top six spaces again, because they are absolutely miles off it at the moment. And yeah, there are so many issues at the football club at the moment. The manager's obviously a huge one. The director of football's another one, but I think the players, and something we were talking about in the break there, Steve, as well, this group of players now has gone 22 Premier League away games and only got one win in that time, which I think is an astonishing statistic that's not being made enough of. And I think I think part of that is due to the way they're being set up away from home at times, the negativity that the Koeman and Allardyce have showed in these away games. But I think it also just shows a complete lack of mentality from a lot of these lads to stand up and be counted. And I think the game at the weekend illustrated that perfectly, where Jordan Pickford makes a mistake, kicks the ball into the face of Troy Deeney, and you could almost literally see 11 lads in blue and their heads falling off for 2 minutes afterwards, because it was just chaos. They have a few chances to score before that, should score, and then the goal itself is just, you know, it's an array of big mistakes from players who aren't really willing to take responsibility and aren't confident in what they were doing. So yeah, it's not going to be a quick fix, and you know, it's difficult to know where to start in terms of this Everton rebuild.
That warm weather training camp, Sandro, was money well spent, wasn't it?
All right, Steve. Yeah,
I didn't quite have the desired impact. Generally, I'd sit here and listen to MJ's pessimism around Everton and try and put up a counter argument, but I'm afraid in this case, I really can't. You know, I agree with everything that he said, and of course the listeners have tweeted in and said about as well. It's poor. It's really poor, and it's sort of what you know you're going to get with Sam Allardyce to an extent as well. And like to MJ's point, he's absolutely spot on. You play this kind of negative style that is all about not conceding goals and doesn't really create many chances, and naturally it's very difficult to change that approach and change that way of playing. And the away record is absolutely atrocious. I've got such sympathy and admiration for these Everton fans that continue to watch their club up and down the country, because it must take some serious doing to do that. They must have better things to do on a Saturday afternoon than go and watch that Everton team on the road currently. It's hard to see sort of an awful lot of light at the end of the tunnel, unless, of course, the owners consider a change of manager. But when you spend that much on Big Sam, they'll probably keep him for another season, I would imagine, which doesn't...
Oh, he's just slumped back in his chair as MJ. He's not having that one.
I'd be surprised if they got to that point. Now, which is another statistic about Everton's away form this season. There's only been two games in all competitions away from home this season where they scored more than one goal. And that was one against Limassol and a dead rubber in the Europa League. And the other one was against Crystal Palace when Everton went there and they were bottom of the table. So
interestingly, that Limassol game, there was one noticeable absentee, wasn't there?
Of course,
Big Sam didn't travel.
Yeah, and the lad who scored two goals that night, Adam Ol-Luckman's currently out in Germany doing pretty well as well. So it's
Right, let's just finish with a reflection on Liverpool as well at the weekend. Couple of thoughts from the listeners again. Larry says Salah loves playing for Liverpool. He scores ridiculous goals and an amazing amount of them, and he plays with a smile on his face. And Ian says, lads, the only people that underrate Firmino is the opposition. We know his worth and what he means to us. He's absolutely incredible. He did that. I've got a picture here. He did that thing at the weekend where he kicks the ball without looking at it.
He's going to mess that up one day, isn't he?
No, but it looks brilliant, doesn't it?
It does look brilliant. I remember I covered a game, Brazil against Chile, in a friendly at the Emirates, and this is when Firmino was still at Hoffenheim, and he scored a goal in that game and did it then, and everyone was going, oh, who's this lad, you know, doing stuff like that. It's obviously somebody he's continued, but he is going to mess it up one day.
Do you want him
to
miss it, do you?
I don't mind. I'd love to see any player miss it while doing something like that, Steve, not just because he plays for Liverpool. But I mean, on that point there, I don't think anyone really underrates him anymore, do they? I think everyone realises what a wonderful footballer he is and how vital he is to this Liverpool side. And yeah, you know, the biggest credit you can pay Liverpool at the moment is that when you see them scoring four goals and beating teams like West Ham 4-1, it's absolutely no surprise anymore, because they are going in the right direction under Klopp, definitely.
And Salah and Harry Kane, Sandro, they're going, every time one scores, the other scores.
Yeah, it's nip and tuck, isn't it? It is, of course. Kane is still quite a strong favourite for that, just because of everything goes through him. And, you know, he's a nine as opposed to Salah playing behind. But this season of Mo Salah is truly incredible. It certainly shows no signs of letting up. And Liverpool in a really, really strong position now. We make them 10-1 on to finish in the top four. So barring any disasters, another season of Champions League football looks like it beckons. And everything's finally starting to seem to click for Liverpool, isn't it? So good times at Anfield and obviously... into the quarterfinals of the Champions League as well. So very excited into the season for Reds.
Sandro, thank you. Speak soon.
Cheers, guys.
See you, mate.
The Kickoff with Steve Hollisell. Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.